CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning. It is Tuesday morning, and if you were listening just before we came on, there was like Keith Sweat playing, and Pumi's like, you know, there's a place for R&B. But it is not Tuesday morning, even after Valentine's Day. So we were all immediately brought back to reality. Hey, Pumps.
No more bullshit.
No more bullshit. Keith Sweat, you're not a fan?
There's a place for Keith.
There's a place for him. All right. You told me something I did not know. That Keith Sweat used to be a stockbroker.
Yeah, he was indeed. Gave up a lucrative career in.
Wow.
Financial services.
Who would have guessed?
For an even more lucrative career in the 90s in RMB.
Damn right. He made everything different. There were women all over the world who were excited about Keith Sweat.
Dude, silky shirts.
Oh. Yes. That was a thing.
That Escal fate.
I'm glad my dad went through that phase before I was born.
Your dad went through that phase. How about it? What is
Did your dad used to dress like Keith Sweat?
He still has these very loud shirts.
Hawaiian ones.
In a wide variety of materials.
Tommy Bahama.
There's the crushed velvet. Okay. Right. There's the silk one. There's the cotton ones.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Crushed velvet. Wow. Yeah.
My parents have always told us two things. My mom, when she dies, we're getting a whole chunk of her Tupperware. And my dad, when he dies, we're getting his collections of books and his clothing. I'm not waiting for the latter.
But you're the only male, so you're going to have to take all the clothing. No. And your sisters are going to say to you, oh, but Sia, you can have all the clothing, so we get the rest.
Dad's shirt.
But it's so sentimental.
I'm not in the mood for some Keith Sweat crushed velvet-esque
There was some kind of memo going around on Saturday when we all went to this concert. I went with a bunch of my friends. They were all wearing these loud kind of Hawaiian type shirts, and I wasn't. I didn't get the memo. I was wearing a black shirt, and it kind of stuck out.
Done.
Yeah.
I think in that instance, you were sticking out for good reasons.
You think?
Yeah.
How is your Pumi? Anything for Valentine's Day?
Ooh.
Oh, and crickets. Ooh. Okay.
No, we just wanted to check.
I didn't get anything for Valentine's Day, not even from my boy for the first time in years.
Oh, he didn't even get his mom something.
I'm still a little bit like shocked and horrified. Well, I told you, Sia, this is the problem with like little girls in my life.
Yeah, he's 12
they like
now.
Take yeah, he's attention
growing up.
From me.
He's growing up.
They take attention away from me.
Mm. Mm.
But also last week wasn't so great for me, because when I was sitting here in the studio last week, Tuesday, I got a message from my dad, and y'all know about
I believe your grandmother died.
So the younger of my two grands.
Jeez, and they both lived a long time.
They did. Mm. They do.
But Shane, what happened? She was just very old.
She was just old.
How old was she?
89.
Sure.
She was about to turn 90.
I heard from everybody in the office, but then I also saw you were posting some pictures of your grandmother and grandfather.
So this is the thing I wanted to say to Sia, right, with your dad's crushed velvet stuff, is that moments like this make you very like emotional. So obviously all the pictures come out. So now I have like pictures of my grandfather with like pulling like his muscle, because he used to be a boxer when he was young.
Oh, of course.
pictures of my dad, and those black and white pictures where people like would, one person is in a chair and like three people standing around them, because they used to have to take you had to go to the studio to take photographs, because not everybody had a camera.
That's right.
So those like taking days. A photograph Wild. Was a thing. People got all dressed up, you brought the little baby, you had like those. Yeah, so it's
and
not
in the
just
very old days, part of the reason that people always look so startled in pictures
is because that flash.
Yeah, that flash caught them all by surprise. So in those very old pictures, you know, those like almost brown and white.
Those
and
sepia.
Brown, sepia like color. those ones, the people in them are like, oh, shit. Whoa, it's a flash. They get a fright.
What is going on? And then what? You got the photo delivered a month later?
Oh, it was no, like, it took a long time, yeah.
That light bulb, that light bulb that actually, it was like one-time use. Like, boom.
Yeah.
Then throw it away.
It's filled with magnesium.
And no warnings about epilepsy back then.
Oh, hell no, no, no.
Ah, you just took the photo.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you just took the photo, and yeah, if that's the one that takes you
come closer. Genan.
No.
Bah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Hilarious.
That's what we did. That was...
Shame. That's I'm sorry to hear that, Pums. It's always horrible. Even when someone's old, you know, you kind of expect them to just be there forever. And when you go to their house and they're not there anymore, I mean, I have no grandparents left now. My grandfather was the last one, and he went probably about 12, maybe even 14 years ago. And you know, that's a whole generation, obviously. Mm. So there's stuff there that you still wanted to ask them. There are things that you still wanted to do. But like, you got to make hay, man. Make hay while the sun shines. Like, enjoy those crushed velvet shirts.
Have the chats with the old people.
Yes.
No, you see, I still have way too many old people in my life. And yes, I'm absolutely grateful for them. But
how old is old people in your life?
No, my grandmother's 87. And then Aunt Tabitha is 82 or 83.
Yeah, so they're still young. They still have a little bit of vitality in them. Oh, it's no, also like amazing how between, I don't know what happens, between like 85 and 86, mm-hmm, it's like a sharp cliff.
Where to? No, don't. No, don't.
I'm just
put
saying.
It like that.
I'm just saying. But also, just, right? You just learn from these experiences.
It's like the little cute things. Like my grandmother now is so into taking photos, yeah, and she likes that because one of my cousins was getting lobolo'd over the weekend, and she was bringing everyone together because everyone had to see her outfit.
Yeah, bo.
She goes, yeah. You can post it up now. Yeah, you can post it on social media. I look good. So it's just sweet. Yeah, these are the moments that matter.
By the way, I hate to depress everybody, but Moody's has cut our growth to 0.7% for 2020. So it is some kind of precursor, a lot of people saying, to a downgrade. And the Rand has gone above 15 Rand to the dollar. So that's not great news to start your Tuesday with. But yeah. I'm going to sneeze.
Sneeze on the truth.
Is that a thing?
Hey,
my cold. Sneeze on the truth.
Just got to sneeze on it.
What do you have to say for yourself, Mbulelo? You've been very quiet so far this morning.
Well, speaking of the death thing, I found it funny. But
death?
You were talking about old people and what's next? You're old, you die.
Oh, jeez.
But my mom's like super pragmatic, right?
Yeah.
And it's funny in my mind.
Clearly you are too.
Yeah, well, she's like, the way my mom presents things is just so hilarious.
You aren't invited to my funeral, by the way.
Well,
you're sitting in the third pew laughing away like, whoa.
They lived. Yes, here we are here with Gladys. She lived, she died. Sandwiches at the bar. That's how I want my funeral to go. But anyway, so my mom goes, I'm an orphan now. But the way she said it when my grandmother died, it was almost, it was so comedic. Do you know when there's that dark humor? So it was like, yeah, oh, I'm an orphan now. And then we just went off. Like, yeah, like no drama, no hullabaloo. Yeah, I'm an orphan now. All right, well.
My aunt was really upset that I said that to her.
Oh, really? Did you say it to her?
No.
But I've got to meet your mother, man.
I know, she's too much.
Why would you say such a thing?
Because it's the truth.
You have to embrace it at that time.
No, are you really an orphan?
If you don't have a mom and you don't have a dad.
You're an orphan.
Guys, Oki says there should always be a woman in the show. Just to keep things in perspective, because you only work 2 hours a day. There should be shows on Saturdays and Sundays. Okay, maybe on Sundays. Maybe you can have Saturdays off because people are too busy on Saturdays. You know what, Oki? Stop trying to arrange my life. Could you get on with yours, huh? And I do agree about the women being on the show, which is part of the reason that we do kind of vary it. And the one day where we have just men, I think, is on Wednesday. And Thursday. Then sometimes on
sometimes
Thursday.
On a Thursday.
If there were to be a Sunday show, there's a place for R&B.
Yes, that's true. That's where we could play Keith Sweat. Sure. You know what, Oki? I'm going to put Keith Sweat on all day on Sunday for you.
Well, if we did a Sunday show, folks, brace for it. I would have to come here in a gown.
And crush velvet shirt.
No.
It's a gown, Sia.
I don't get dressed on a Sunday.
You, yeah.
Now, there is a thing I can't unthink.
Or can't mentally unsee.
I'm sort of with Sia that Sundays are days for you to just chill at home.
Mm.
Sunday's a recharge day.
We're not meant to work, according to the Holy Book.
Not at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, we
not
have...
on Sunday. On
obviously,
Saturday.
We have a lot of people in this country who are not doing extremely well in terms of how much money they have.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there are huge numbers of people who are unemployed. I was at the iStore yesterday getting my phone screen fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And a dude pulled up in a McLaren.
Yeah, bo.
You know? Got out, walked in. It's the woman I know at the iStore.
Swaggered in, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, swaggered, man. A woman at the iStore who I know, Linda, she says to me, oh, yeah, he's a regular customer. He comes in here and buys lots of stuff. He must be doing fine.
Why is he buying lots of stuff regularly?
Like, I don't know. Maybe he's got nothing else to do with his money. But he drives in that McLaren. The door goes up. You know, gull wings. Gets out. He's not an amazing looking dude.
But you don't need to be amazing looking.
But he's confident, huh? Well, I mean, I suppose if you get out of McLaren, you're going to feel a little more confident than the rest of us getting out of whatever we get out of.
For, 7 million rand, Cole, will make you feel a little confident.
Yeah,
just a little.
And he kind of swaggers in there.
Mm.
Hmm.
7 million rand.
Must be nice.
That's awesome.
Did you happen
good
to
for him.
Get his number plate, his address?
No, I didn't.
Even just an ID number I can work with.
But it's, Gareth but it's doesn't a, think about you in moments like that.
But it's sort of a, it was sort of a claret color, you know, sort of a red, but a wine color.
Oh,
car.
Wow.
And I liked the look of it. I mean, I must be honest with you. I'm seldom jealous of other people. I don't get envious of things. And I wasn't even envious of this, but I thought, that's a nice car. You know, I didn't resent him having it.
Mm.
I'm happy for that guy. Really, whatever he's done, maybe he's a genius. For all I know, he could have invented some incredible thing that we're all benefiting from. And maybe not. Maybe he's just a, you know, lucky guy, right place, right time. Who knows?
Was he like in good shape?
Not superior shape. Ooh. I'd say he's probably in his... late 40s, early 50s. See, a little bit of middle-aged.
That's the thing
spread.
With all those kinds of cars, right?
Yeah.
Is the guy getting out of that car is like on the upper?
Yeah,
he's not because you've like had to do some work, you know. Unless
yeah.
you
yeah,
like,
of course, of course.
Unless you landed with your ass in the butter,
but
you've had to
thing,
work for
this
it.
This thing with the Bachelor, and someone sent us a message here as well this morning about the Bachelor. Ruth says, Mark is the new man in my life. I watched The Bachelor and catch up, laughed and laughed. Two, maybe three nice ladies on the lot to be determined. Now I'll watch regularly. But it was like watching a reality comedy show.
Mm.
You know, that guy and any of these dudes who look really good, they spend so much time in the gym.
Yeah.
They're not working. And women, no. Let's be fair. Women want a bit of a mix. They want a guy who looks good, but they also want a guy who's successful and has got his shit together, you know?
But some
and
guys
you can't,
do both.
No. Mbulelo, very rare. Very rare to find that. Because if a guy's too good looking, if he's in too good shape, there's no way he's got a real job.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's true, dude.
Look, I actually don't disagree with you there.
It's true. I mean, there's the levels of success. You could be moderately successful and in good shape. Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're really super, super successful, there's no way you're spending 3 hours in the gym every day. There's no way.
Something must be off
balance. There's no way you're going to gym 5-6 times a week. You don't have the time. If you're that busy and you're that successful.
What if the gym is like... In your house.
Even then, but those guys, they don't have time. They might have it in their house, but they don't use it.
Or else then, in my opinion, you'd be unbearable to live with. You'd be one of those pseudo life coach people who wake up at half past three. And
they're not serious people, these dudes.
I happen to know three people that I was going to tell you, I can't be jealous of anyone overweight. So I don't care how much money you got. That guy in the McLaren, if he's overweight, forget it. I get jealous when the guy's got a McLaren and he's killing it in the gym. I happen to know three people who they
have
think
McLarens.
I no, well, they're at that level of.
I think there only are seven in the whole country.
No, that level of success. But they're also in good shape, and I hate them. They think I love them, but I absolutely hate them.
Yeah.
They really make, they drive me insane. Because they're killing it at the gym, at work, and they're good people.
Really?
All three of them are like
really?
Great, and they're great
people. We must
go
out after this and kill them.
Yeah, that's not unreasonable. But they think I love
them. Do you want to host a lunch?
Oh, hate them.
Invite them over.
Sia's just looking for someone to marry Rich.
Yeah, it is. Ah, yes. Guys.
Although I have so many questions for you, Mbulelo, on that statement.
Yeah.
Like, what? Three guys who drive McLarens?
No.
Or could?
That level of success.
What do they do?
Mining, all of them.
Hmm.
Yeah.
How old are they?
A little bit older than me. So early 40s. All of them early 40s.
Shit. Okay.
Yeah. And killing it. Though
good,
not like
good for them.
And they go to the gym.
Very rare. See, guys like that wouldn't go on The Bachelor.
Smash it. Mm.
They wouldn't go.
And I think I work out and then they just take it to another level. So, sure. And I hate them. There's one particular Derek who's just, he looks like he should be on the cover of Men's Health all the time. And then he'll just go to work.
Very unhappy.
They're probably the
this.
Type who don't even eat the sugar in a grape.
Hey, listen to this. Oh. Leo says he is rocking his tacky Hawaiian shirt to work today.
Wow.
Okay. It is not crushed velvet though, but he is. So Sia and I went to one of the big banks last week. And they have relaxed their dress code.
So they allow people to arrive in Hawaiian shirts?
You can wear whatever you want. If you have important meetings, then you must
obviously
take care
not.
Of yourself. Yeah. But if you're just going to the office to work that day and you've got a few, like, get-togethers with the staff or whatever, you can probably dress down.
Mm.
And I didn't really notice much of a change from any of the other banks because I think people are responsible and they know you got to meet with serious people, you're going to dress seriously. But there are certain careers and professions where actually if you don't wear a suit, people take you more seriously. And
if
I've
you
had this
don't
argument,
wear a suit, yeah, people take you more seriously.
I've had this argument
like?
With many people before about how if you're in the entertainment business or you're in a tech business,
mm-hmm,
or you are a person who has to deal with communications and marketing and that kind of thing, sometimes it helps to be a little quirky and not fit the norm that everyone else fits into. Obviously, there are exceptions to that rule.
Yeah, because I wouldn't want my attorney wearing
no.
a crushed velvet shirt.
Oh, no. But I mean, like, here's Leo, for example. He's chilling in his Hawaiian shirt today, which I think is, he's probably got a cool job in entertainment or something like that, right?
Yeah.
You agree, Pumi? You seem skeptical of this.
People in like media, comms, entertainment, yeah, all of that stuff are also incredibly like self-conscious and very fashion forward.
Right.
Is that the word?
Yes.
Okay.
If you arrived in a Hawaiian shirt, people would relegate you to the bottom of the pile.
Yes. You need to be up with the trends. Well,
you have to. You yeah. would have to be a top-notch, like, superlative.
Yeah. Supremely confident person.
Creative, or yeah, what, you know what I'm saying? Whatever you bring to the table has got to outshine that Hawaiian loudness.
Yeah, but let's say that guy in the McLaren, for example,
arrived in a Hawaiian shirt.
He could get away. He could do what he wants. Not because he's got money, but because he's the kind of guy who probably doesn't give a shit. And there are people like that in business as well. You know. You've probably been to meetings with people who, they might not be in some well-known corporate hierarchy, but they might have a little family business,
mm-hmm,
and they might even be like second generation or whatever, and they do what they want because they don't know any other way, and you kind of have to admire the fact that they don't care about fitting in. Most of us try to fit in, including me. I mean, like, if I'm in a corporate environment, I realize I can't go and chill in shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah.
We all have to dress up a little bit for these things to be taken seriously.
Some people don't. I cut my dreadlocks.
Were your dreadlocks a problem for some people?
Oh my God, I cut my dreadlocks when I moved out of the creative aspect of the business.
Yeah.
I cut my dreadlocks.
Really?
People don't take you seriously. People are like,
have I got a story for
crazy
you?
Crazy dreadlocks.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
Wow.
Cut your dreads, eh?
Yeah, and also, I mean, you remember how long ago I had dreads, before dreads were like, no, you know, before the afro and the Bantu locks or whatever.
I'm going to put me like 20 years.
Before so, all of those things so were
which,
like...
Which hairstyle that you've had do you consider the most serious and formal? I mean, this is always, I love hearing this because we never get to hear, first of all, men and then white men. We never get to hear about black hair. So I'm like, I'm fucking fascinated. So which one's the most?
So it depends on the environment. It depends who you're talking to. It's a lot like this, right? Mm. It's a lot like radio. It's about your audience. Some people you have to make them feel comfortable and safe.
So what's so the
you
one? Like what's have, the safest?
You must
you
have
do?
Like safe hair for them so to safe, feel a little bit.
What
like,
is safe hair? Please tell me. I love this.
Whip out your pens and papers, folks. Time to take notes.
Pumi's letting us into a secret world here, everybody.
And you know what, though? At first, I was about to say, oh, no, but this is so unfair. But I thought about it on the flip side, and I thought, actually, if a creative walked in with dreadlocks, I'd be more inclined to believe them. I'm like, yes, Mother Earth, yes, bang your bongo drums. Uh-huh, and tell me where the strategy should go. Yeah, so we actually do all have these biases.
Oh, my goodness.
So what's
those biases.
Please
like,
tell me.
People, depending on... So lots of white males find black women with like straight hair, whatever, you know, slick back, straight hair, then it's you're safe, right? It's like they can kind of go, I get you. You're not like non-threatening.
So like, what's the most
Afro
threatening?
Lock, wara wara.
Afro lock, what are we
Dude,
talking? Like big.
Like, do you remember how crazy my dreadlocks were? So I had long, thick dreadlocks.
Like what Those are we talking about? Of, like Bob Marley type?
Yeah, all of that. Okay. All of that is a little bit like, are you high right now?
And was there a possibility you were?
Just people asking. And it is astounding, the level of bias you walk into a room with.
Mm.
Even just like how short your skirt is, which is why a lot of women in corporates prefer pantsuits, right? Why? Because kind of you like the boys don't feel
assimilation, yeah.
And in fact, I read a Harvard Business Review article a couple of months ago about deep voices, how women in corporate, their voices tend to like become deeper. Because like,
really?
Dude, men are fragile. Men in corporate, men in corporate are super fragile. You can't be out here with
no,
your
yeah,
high
I
voice.
Think we all...
I do take women who have slightly deeper voices more seriously.
But I take just, men that's with because deeper
if you,
voices.
Yeah,
deeper.
That's just because if you... It sounds a bit like childlike. That's why. I think that's what it is.
No, it's just a bias.
Probably.
It really, there is absolutely nothing
But don't we
about.
All, don't we all like dress it up for the right occasion? You mentioned just now, you know your audience, right? So if I'm going to speak in front of a bunch of investment bankers, I know what kind of people I'm dealing with. Then I know I've got to probably wear a suit. I've got to be very direct, matter of fact, don't fuck around, make them laugh. And get off there really quickly because they also don't want to spend hours and hours talking. If I'm meeting, let's say a bunch of people in marketing, then it's more like a social occasion. Am I right? And so you kind of tailor the message and accordingly you also tailor the outfit. But the reason I think it's so interesting with the black hair and particularly black women's hair is that you have this range like no one else has. Like we often talk about how, you know, there's this identity thing wrapped up in black women's hair, but there's also a range. Like you could put on whichever personality you feel like.
And now with the wig
Obviously,
trend,
not,
ooh, you
not
can change
immediately.
Every day.
Yeah, Dude. Wig. But used to, I mean, listen, if you're getting braids done, that's like a whole day or maybe even more than a day of prep. But you can have that. And then you can mix it up. You could have this, you afro the one day and you can do this with this weave the next day and a wig and a, you know, go short and go bald, for example. And there's this range and it changes dramatically the way that people respond to you.
Dude, I once had 53 hairstyles in 5 months.
Yo!
No.
Yeah, because I was shooting a TV show, right?
Oh,
so every 3 days.
Please explain that.
Every 3 days. But it's still 53 hairstyles. It was 50.
Unbelievable.
52 episodes. It was
And you needed a new hairstyle every single day.
Sure.
That's every outrageous. 3 days.
No, that is kind of crazy.
That is absolutely outrageous.
All right. Well, we've
there
got
are people
a lot of,
who don't know what I look like.
We got a lot of things to talk about. That woman that had the blood test scan.
Yeah. Theranos.
Theranos, that's right. Taylor Ed. Looking at Steve Jobs, she even changed her voice to make it deeper.
Yeah.
Yeah, you tailored is, I think, what they're trying to spell there.
So she did.
We'll put up a TED Talk.
I didn't talk about this yesterday, but I quickly want to get to it before the five things. So I watched Bombshell, and I mentioned I'd talk about it. Charlize Theron puts on the Megyn Kelly voice. She looks like Megyn Kelly. Because I think the women who did her makeup won best makeup at the Oscars.
It's really good.
Because it's that good.
Something to her nose.
They did something, and they made Nicole Kidman look just like Gretchen Carlson.
Never.
It's unbelievable. And watch this movie if you've ever seen like Megyn Kelly on TV, and you know Charlize Theron. I mean, she does the voice and everything. Yeah. Fuck, it's good. And it starts. The whole movie starts off with Charlize talking as Megyn Kelly, but you can hear a little bit of the South African accent in her. You can still hear it. It's there. You know, she's got a very good American accent, and here she's like impersonating Megyn Kelly, but just so good. So well done. It's unbelievable.
That's intense.
And Margot Robbie is so good in that movie.
Mm.
Jesus. All three of those girls are just absolutely spectacular. I didn't think I would be that impressed.
Okay,
I'll
start saving for going to the movies. All right. That.
Yeah. You need to save.
Yes.
Save for
in
the
South
movies.
Africa.
Yeah, like my budget.
You're
yeah.
rich if you can still afford that whole combo at the movies, the popcorn, the Coke,
I
and
no
the sweets.
I have no intention of getting the combo. I just want to watch the movie.
All right, let's talk about some of the things in the news. First things first, Port Elizabeth says the South African state... Let me just start that again.
Port Elizabeth said what? Thought.
This happened in Port Elizabeth.
Uh-huh.
The South African Social Security Agency, that's SASSA, and the SA Post Office said in a statement on Monday beneficiaries would continue to receive their grant money on time every month. Here we go again. We thought that Batabile Dlamini was the problem. Clearly the system is just not working. The weekend media reports suggesting that the Post Office may not be able to process social grants payments are incorrect. We assure everyone that social grant payments to the more than 11 million SASSA beneficiaries will not be disrupted, the statement said. The beneficiary funds are directly deposited into social grants beneficiaries' accounts every month by SASSA, and the post office serves as a distribution agent. So they say there are going to be no problems. Let's not hold our breath, but at the same time, let's take their word for it at this point.
When you're done with the five things, please remind me to talk to you about... conversation I had with someone about those grants.
Okay.
Please.
All right. We'll get back to it. No problem. The city of Cape Town said it had already taken steps to resolve the matter with foreign nationals living around the Methodist Church. On Monday, the Western Cape High Court granted an interim order which allows the city to enforce bylaws. The city said they were transgressing their public spaces regulations, which ban cooking, fires, and washing on the streets. The municipality was instructed to find a venue where the Department of Home Affairs officials can conduct verification and other administrative matters for 7 days. So they're gonna try and move these people out of the city of Cape Town because they're basically illegally settling there and they have nowhere else to go. And Home Affairs is not helping them sort out their problems. The city of Cape Town is like, well, we need our pavements back. And really, there's no easy solution to this problem. I don't see one. Clearly, you can't have homeless people living on the sidewalk. And we've heard multiple stories of women being harassed as they walk through there. We've heard about fights breaking out. We've heard about a general feeling of insecurity in that area. And it's right in the middle. It's near Parliament, for heaven's sake. It's near the St. George's Cathedral. It's in a busy part of the city. You can't have people, you know, toileting, basically, on the... on the side of the street in the middle of town. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's outrageous. So let's see what happens there. Not holding out any hope there either. And here, we don't know whether this is fake news or planted news, but Deputy President David Mabuza, the ANC Secretary General Ace Magashule, and Water and Sanitation Minister Lindiwe Sisulu are among the 11 senior ANC leaders who are said to become the targets of politically motivated criminal investigations by state organs in the next few months. Four ANC National Executive Committee members told the Sunday Independent that the trio was on a list of people perceived to be former President Jacob Zuma loyalists or those with ambitions of challenging Cyril Ramaphosa ahead of the governing party's National General Council this June. Other alleged targets include Jesse Duarte, Gwede Mantashe, Supra Mahumapelo, and former ministers Musibenzi Zwane, Bongani Bongo, Nomvula Mokonyane, Batabile Dlamini, and Faith Mutambi. Well, I wouldn't mind if all of those people were crushed by rockfall or something. But that's just me.
No, it's not. It's many of us.
I wonder how many people would benefit if those voices just went silent in the ANC. Let's say they all had terrible food poisoning, like former President Jacob Zuma.
No, he's got the Shabir shakes.
Well, who knows what he's got now. But we do know that his one wife tried to poison him.
I wonder if we don't deploy
her into this. You know, not that I'm a huge fan of Cyril's, you know that. But these are easily the rottenest of the fruit in the basket.
The rottenest.
And you know, if you have one bad apple in a basket of apples, that rot spreads.
Yeah, you're right.
Sometimes I just wish someone... I'm not going to complete that sentence. It's going to get me into trouble.
Order,
comrade, honorable speaker.
You called yourself into order there.
China's annual Congress meeting in March will likely be delayed because of the ongoing novel coronavirus outbreak, the Committee for National People's Congress said on Monday. Postponing the biggest political meeting of the year would be in the best interest of citizens' safety and health, China's state-run news reported. The high-profile cancellations linked to the outbreak continue, with Beijing postponing its International Automotive Exhibition on Monday. The event, which was originally slated for April 21st, will be rescheduled in order to ensure the health and safety of exhibitors and participants. If you have a scheduled trip to China, are you thinking of postponing or cancelling?
We were actually discussing it here at the office yesterday. I'm sure there are a couple of script writers already halfway through a script with this whole thing.
For sure.
Insane.
Formula One's been cancelled. And I mean, you understand a Formula One weekend is worth billions of dollars. The 19th of April, that's cancelled.
I'm telling you, Chinese government are hating this at the moment. Apart from the obvious problem that they're dealing with internally, from a PR point of view and a tourism point of view, this is very bad news. One of three remaining USS Arizona crew members who survived Pearl Harbor has died. The National Park Service confirmed on Sunday the death of 97-year-old Donald Stratton while announcing on a Facebook post that the flag over the USS Arizona Memorial at Pearl Harbor would be flown at half staff in honor of his life and service. He grew up in Nebraska and joined the Navy in 1940. The USS Arizona was his first ship. I've seen the movie, and there's a movie called Pacific, something about the Pacific War. It's out at the moment. I saw a trailer for it the other day. Looks amazing, but I haven't got to see it yet. And if you go onto Google Earth, for example, and you go over Pearl Harbor in Hawaii, you can actually still see the corpse of a ship, you know, two in the water there. You can see, because the water's so clear, you can actually see the sunken hulls of these ships that were taken out that many years ago. It's quite something.
And this is like two generations.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Unbelievable. 1941. And this guy, 97 years old, one of the last surviving Pearl Harbor soldiers. So there's quite something to think about in the long scheme of human history. So Pumi, I've been waiting with bated breath. Tell me about these grants. And your own story.
So I often wonder what happens, because you know they've got cards that you can, which is why the post office is a conduit. So the grants come onto a card, and the card, you can use it as a debit card.
Right.
But a lot of the recipients are old people who operate in a cash economy.
Right.
And when I went to, so my grandparents lived out in the Vaal. And we had to go and pay at the undertaker for the coffin spray and some other things. And this guy takes cash.
Only.
I was so annoyed that this whole business is a cash-based business. They have no swiping machines. They don't do EFTs. I had to go find an ATM, go in. So I had a conversation with him, and he's actually quite a, the business was started by his father.
Yeah.
And he is, what, probably in his 40s, this guy?
Right.
And I was like, why is this business like this? He says, because, so my grandfather had a policy with him, so they did, like, and this is how we end up using this business.
Okay.
And he says, because a lot of his customers are old people, so it's a lot of grannies.
Right.
And they have tried to get them onto, I'm like, but why can't you just take their Sasa card? Why don't you just swipe their Sasa card?
Sure.
You know, just get a Sasswich, get a Yoko, get one of those things.
Right.
It's like, nah, those old ladies want to come in there. So when they get their Sasa money gets, grant gets paid into their account on the 15th of the month or whatever, they actually go and withdraw all of it.
Yeah.
The entire amount withdrawn. And go from like service provider to service provider. So they come to him. So on the 15th or the 16th of the month, he has queues of customers who have come to pay whatever their fee that they have to pay is.
Right.
In cash. And I was just like, it's so dangerous.
So dangerous. And this is where we end up with cash and transit heists and all those kinds of things. And people who keep cash on the premises and... so bad. I don't know why we can't... obviously, it's an older generation thing. But I suppose as we get to a cashless society, which is the key,
but what
that'll disappear.
But I think the thing for me that was just as fascinating is that even though the older generation is like that,
yeah.
He has constituted his entire business around that. So I don't have the option. Yeah. Even though I would have liked to pay with my card.
Mm.
Because so what he's done is he's taught his entire customer base. Because the next people, they know that, oh, no, that guy works in cash. You just bring the cash. And that's so that his business will always be that way. Because he's not gearing up for...
Yeah.
I had to go find an ATM. And I can imagine that there are a lot of people who pay for their grandmothers or fathers and uncles and all, who have to come there, queue up... cash-based, wara wara. I've always wondered about it. But he also then was telling me...
And we're not talking about like 200 rand.
Yeah.
Expensive stuff.
It is.
Funeral stuff is very expensive. So we're talking about people who are bringing 10, 20, 30,000 rand in cash there.
So if he's got, what, if he's got 150 customers who are each paying 300 rand...
He could walk out of there with 750,000 rand.
And then... Yeah.
In cash. Now, that's not safe. Don't tell me that's not a target.
And then what? He has to...
It's absolutely... Because so, yeah. I've also always wondered about the grannies. I mean, you read in the Sunday Times, in the Sunday Sun, in the Daily Sun, and all of those, about all these grannies who, because there's such a growing scourge of like drug abuse in the townships, who are always getting robbed by their kids.
Right.
Because then, after she's withdrawn all of that money... Where does it go? Because it goes under the mattress.
Mm.
She keeps it in the house with her because it's like a monthly stipend.
Sure. I mean, you've got to be disciplined. You know, often I hear people saying, well, poor people don't know how to budget, which is nonsense. They know more about budgeting than anyone else because when the money's finished, the money's finished. They don't have somewhere to borrow from.
They don't have an overdraft in a bank account. Yeah.
And it's amazing how... You want to learn the discipline of cash flow and figuring out how much you need to last a month. You ask one of those grannies, tell you what, they'll teach you more than any accountant in any firm.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And they can figure it out like that.
Yeah.
There's maths going on there that we need... We need calculators. You pull out your calculator for everything, right?
For the exponential whatnot of it all. And,
and we can barely... We complain about all of the things that we have to pay for.
Mm.
I can guarantee that almost all of us make more money than our grandparents ever made.
Yeah.
But we can't...
cover our costs and
what they did.
No way. And they managed to save.
It really does.
And they managed to save.
Yeah. So if you think about your monthly salary, Sia, if you were to say to your gran,
probably
this is how much I earn, she'd be like, what?
Yeah.
And
she'd tell you how to put it in the right places too. All right, so sad, but the grannies and the gogos of this country are the true heroes, and they are dealt with and have carried so many. Mm. It's unbelievable. Oh, the movie's called Midway. That's right. Thank you very much.
That's that
the one about
Pearl Harbor, yeah, or something.
About the Pacific War. Linda says, hey, guys, not sure if this is still the case, but you don't draw all the money out of the Sasa card. It gets taken back, so you have to draw it all.
Really?
What?
That can't be.
No, man.
So if you don't take or use everything up, it will go back into the system.
To where? To the tuck shop at Nkandla? Where's this money going?
I don't know. I can't believe they'd take it back. That doesn't sound right.
Yeah, that doesn't sound official.
That's crazy. No. We need to investigate that.
Ask somebody.
No.
All right, well...
if you don't draw all the money out...
Tell Pumi the cash-based businesses all evade tax by not reporting true sales. Fair enough, I say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian says that. The movie's called Midway. Applied for documents at Home Affairs last week. And I walked past this.
Jeez.
Through Green Market to get to Home Affairs. It's just, it looks horrible. It's really just a mess.
Yeah, this is not an overnight... There will not be an overnight solution. Yeah.
I saw a guy in bumper-to-bumper traffic yesterday drinking an ice-cold beer in his work clothes on his way home. That's from Greg. He says, I realized a choice was made. Either go home after a rough day and kick the dog or something, or hit an ice-cold one and go on with your day.
And get home drunk and kick the dog.
Greg says, he savored that beer, you could see.
Do you ever, and I'm really not rubbing...
Greg.
I'm not rubbing salt into the wound here, but I'm so rarely in traffic, just because of our hours here, that when I am in traffic and I look around, I'm going, is everyone okay? I just want to step out of my car and start hugging people. There are some people, you can tell the weight of the world on their shoulders. So I'm not surprised to hear something like that. Yeah. Look, we are condoning drinking and driving. But some people look like they're having it rough.
So my old man moved back from Germany. And we used to live up the road here in the north of Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. In 1 week, he moved to the Vaal. So he's the guy. Because they were fixing the... Between, what's it? Danefern and Fourways. You remember when it was just a chamors for those years? So that's when he moved back. In a week, he bought a house in the Vaal.
I'm out.
No, he doesn't play those games.
Well, Sia on the messages says, my gran had this wallet called Umfelemtwini.
Oh, yeah.
Umfelemtwini.
And it used to stay around her waist, and that was where she kept all her money.
What is Umfelemtwini?
Umfelemtwini.
It dies on the person. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, bro.
That's awesome.
All right. Now you're going to have to find us Bill Withers. Grandma's hands. That's what we have
damn
to
right.
play Grandma's hands.
Mbulelo, you want to give us some sport quickly?
Yeah, let's have sport
going
quickly.
On in the world of sport. Take it away.
The Proteas, Faf du Plessis, has stepped down as Proteas captain, and it is about time. Far as I'm concerned, Faf has divided opinion as a leader and a player, but he intends to stick around till the T20 World Cup. Look, the guy should have gone 3 years ago. It's time we moved on. My hope for the future is that South Africa, for goodness sake, let's stop having upheaval every time a captain goes. Succession planning is not a new thing in business, people. It's been happening for 200 years. Please, let's get on with it. Australia went seamlessly from Border to Taylor to War to Ponting to Clark. And then the sandpaper cheat, of course, the Bradman-like Steve Smith. They've had 5 captains in a row. Seamless. What's wrong with us? What are we doing? It's amateur hour here. Faf, thanks for the good years, but... You're not Steve Waugh. Let's move on. So tough times for that. Quinton de Kock has a mountain to climb. In the sevens, Springbok World Cup winner Cheslin Kolbe is caught between a rock and a pot of gold. Kolbe is looking to end what would be a sensational 18 months, right? He won the World Cup last year. I don't know if you remember that. We did a little thing called winning the World Cup. But he's got a dream. He wants to win an Olympic gold with the Box Sevens in Japan. Of course, Summer Olympics coming up. The problem is the French team that pay him a king's ransom over millions and millions of rands a year. They won't let him go. And the rules under Neil Powell and Sevens team is you have to play at least one tournament before the Olympics. And they have said no way. And the last one he had a chance to play in, of course, was LA. And his team, Toulouse, have said no chance. Powell was quoted as saying, unfortunately, we're not going to get Cheslin for the LA Sevens in 29th Feb. So it makes it difficult for us to get him for the Olympic team. That is so, so sad because we rarely have a chance to win Olympic gold there. We know how poor our Olympic teams have been recently. And in something that I love, those who don't know, I absolutely love running. and we saw something very special. History was made by the Ugandan wunderkind, Joshua Cheptegei. At the age of 23, he's done it again. So I have a humble brag.
Okay,
Gareth, you know I hate those.
Yes.
But 2 years ago, 2017, 2018, I was one of the commentators when this young man at the age of 90, or he was 20 and 21 back then, he ran the fastest 10K we have ever seen on South African soil. I was one of the commentators for that, and it was an absolute honor to see him live. However, he's gone beyond that now at the ripe old age of 23. He's now not only the 10,000 meter world champion, but he's now broken the fastest 5K record ever. The time, listen to this, 12 minutes 51 seconds.
Really?
5 kilometers.
It's sick. It's sick. It's sick. And to let you know what that means, 2 minutes 34 seconds per kilometer. So to all of you,
that's
that,
almost, does
that
make you uncomfortable?
No, it's sick. That's sick. Gareth, I once ran a 10K in 30 minutes. I thought I was going to die.
I thought I was going to die. Every kilometer.
That's phenomenal.
No, that is incredible.
That's wild.
I can't do anything.
It's wild, isn't it?
No,
you can't do anything in 2 minutes here. He said it. Not me.
I don't know.
He led the horse to water.
He said it. He said he can't do anything in 2 minutes.
Okay. Cheptegei. Sia being the 2 minute man, so is Cheptegei. He's the first man ever to go under 13 minutes for 5 kilometers. And he almost certainly, in this type of form, he'll be the 5,000 and 10,000 meter Olympic game champion later this year. If you love running and you have nobody to follow, go follow this guy. Like I said, I got to meet him 2 years ago. He's an unbelievable guy, humble and just such a cool guy. And lastly, in news that brought me down to my knees last night, Chelsea hosted Man United last night and their indifferent form at home continued. The Blues have only taken 18 of the 36 points available at Stamford Bridge. Just before halftime, Anthony Martial arrowed a towering header into the bottom corner to make it 1-0 to United. Bruno Fernandes put it in for world record signing. Harry Maguire, centre back, he made it 2-0, and Man United were out of sight, and it broke my heart. So now Chelsea lost that 2-0. United are now just 3 points behind Chelsea, and the top four race, I said it before, I'll say it again, it is now squeaky bum time. So it is getting really, really exciting at the top there. Look out for Man United's resurgence. That is your sport.
All right. Thank you very much, Mbulelo. Okay. We got lots to get to today.
Including some squeaky bum time.
Yes. Sia likes that.
Well,
here's an interesting story. I've been listening to how Sia was able to track his phone, but too shit scared or lazy to do anything about it. This is from Damien. Damien says, a few years ago, a friend had a similar experience with an iPad, but we decided to apprehend the culprit. We jumped in the car, followed the dot across town because it was moving. At the same time, we managed to get the SAPS on the phone and they continued and connected with us and had a squad car who joined in the chase. When we arrived, the dot had come to a shop and was in the middle of this place. It was a pawn shop. When we entered, there was no clear suspect, so we made the iPad ring, identified the bastard immediately. In seconds, the cops grabbed him, threw him over a table and began emptying his bag and pockets. Not only did we find that iPad, but we recovered numerous other devices, pieces of jewelry and cash. It was an amazing day and felt very liberating. So please tell Sia to cancel his manicure, grow a moustache, harden the fuck up and go and get his phone.
Yeah, boy. Told you.
I'm still this giving
Damien
it a skip.
Yeah. Whoop, whoop for Damien.
Oh, right. Okay. And right. Then if Damien ended up shot...
Hey.
Yeah, no one's thinking about that because they are yeah, manly.
It's not short. Yeah, we're not going to be easy.
Yeah, let's be manly and silly and stupid.
Take
no.
back the night.
Cancel the manic.
You guys. I'm too young to have a battle scar. Thank you very much.
Oh, you think?
Ah, absolutely.
I think you could have got it back. I'm telling you.
Sure. I'm not even going to dispute that. But I'm so over it.
You could have had your phone. That's all I'm saying, Sia.
Over it.
It could have been yours.
Damien, and
you could
please.
Have gone down the road there. You would have found your phone. Would have been a piece of cake.
And Damien must leave my scheduling alone.
Yeah, you could have had your phone. I think it's all really those hot photos from your exes.
Yes, the ones that you didn't want anyone else.
Am I nudes?
Yeah, am I nudes?
Guys, I have a friend who was like blackmailed. This is like, not, see,
tell us everything.
No,
no, it's gonna have to wait. We have to get to it in the next.
You don't.
We have to. No, we have to.
It's not even a massive story like that. But this is not someone who's famous, not someone who's rich, but someone who just has their nudes out there.
Ordinary person.
Yes, sure. And they're being blackmailed. You see.
What a teaser.
Right, this is great because we'll have to find out now. All of that's coming up. Cliffcentral.com, Tuesday morning. Pumi's here, Sia's here, Bulelo's here, and Mfundo's here, and we're here with you. So give us a call, 079-748-2090.
Cliffcentral.com.